Rob's work has appeared in the Los Angeles Review, the Chai Zine and Needle. I will say, In the Land of the Blind is available on Amazon. You should read it. It is one of the most unique and interesting zombie stories I've ever read, given how many I've digested and regurgitated lately. That's saying a lot.
That's from you, not me, right?
That's my
words. I'm not saying that it's the greatest zombie. Okay.
No. Nor does he pay me in cash.
Right.
He is bringing me donuts later.
Yes.
So I'm going to turn it over to Robert, who will be telling you why this is the moment to jump.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you to Gary and Mike for inviting me here. Yeah, what I'm basically going to talk about today is just ebooks in general, publishing, self-publishing, which really in, I guess, the past year or two has become a whole... I mean, before there used to be a huge stigma against self-publishing. Quite honestly, even before, self-publishing never really made sense because it was mostly just print. So even if it was a print-on-demand, you had no distribution because, you know, you could print the book up and then you could sell it, you know, you could hand sell it out of the trunk of your car, but you couldn't get into bookstores. So to get into bookstores, to get to the readers, which really, I mean, ultimately as the writer, you want to get to the reader, you needed to get into a bookstore. Well, how do you get into a bookstore? You need a publisher. Well, how do you get a publisher? You need to get an agent. So there's a lot of different things in between. Recently, with just kind of the digital quote-unquote revolution, the distribution is there, pretty much at anybody's fingertips. It takes like, you know, a couple minutes to upload a novel, and then for a couple hours, it's ready to go. Now, having said that, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you always should. And that's something that I'm going to talk about here. Here I just have kind of notes from a blog post I did for Joe Conrath back in November, and Brian Keenan actually asked me to do a blog post, which I'll probably do in another week or so, just about ebooks. Kind of numbers and figures here. In January of 2010, I had sold 13 ebooks. Okay. This past January, I think it was like 4,000 or 5,000. So it definitely has gone up. But to kind of get started, though, I've just always wanted to be a writer. I was kind of that geeky typewriter who, you know, would always go to the bookstore and look at the books and mostly look at the copyright, see what kind of printing was in. I was able to kind of say the imprints or the authors and who their publisher was and who their author was or who their agent was, kind of like baseball players, kind of like stats. So I kind of always had the back of my mind. I'd always look at Publishers Weekly. And even in college, I was always trying to, like, send out queries to get an agent. And I was able to get an agent, and at that time, I thought that was it. I was like, all right, I got the agent. I made it. But the reality is that's only, like, half the battle. Because once you have the agent, then the agent has to send out to the publishers. And the publishers, I mean, they get bombarded by so many agents. So, I mean, it's just as hard. So, I mean, it was for a thriller of mine that I had gotten an agent for, and we had gotten such great feedback from publishers. Like, there was even a senior editor at Doubleday who called him up saying, I really love this book, but it's just not right for us. So then we went on to another book, and same type of thing. And then, you know, me and that agent had parted ways, and I ended up signing with another agent. And even, you know, a few novels there, it was just like a lot of publishers were like, oh, we like this, but we have to pass. So what always happened before was, okay, well, what happens to those novels that you try to sell? Well, you put it away. You can come back to it once you get a book deal. So, okay, so starting out then, I had, I think, like 4 or 5 novels kind of just, you know, sitting back, being ready for whenever they could come out again. In 2009, I'd come up, did anybody hear the term hint fiction before? Okay. I was the one who came up with that. So that was in an essay, and it was really crazy because all of a sudden this kind of thing started coming across the internet, and like the second day of this whole idea of hint fiction, Norton, W.W. Norton, had contacted me and my agent about possibly putting together an anthology of stories. So it was kind of one of those ironies in publishing that after so many years of trying to find a publisher, the publisher comes and just says, hey, you want to do a book? So I did that, and it turned out very well. You know, it was reviewed by the New Yorker and the Los Angeles Times. We were on Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon. So it did really, really well. And at the time, my agent was like, okay, you know, let's hold off until the book comes out and then, you know, kind of raise your profile and then we will go out with your next book. Well, the book came out in November. So if anybody knows anything about publishing, everybody goes on vacation come November, December because of Thanksgiving, Christmas. So at that point, it was like, okay, well, we're going to have to wait till 2011 to go out with the next book, which was fortunate, and I'll get to that. Earlier, and I think it was 2010, I had actually tried talking a friend of mine out of self-publishing his book. I mean, by that point, the Kindle had really become very popular, and everybody was doing a lot of ebooks. But even then, I was like, I don't really know if you want to do this, and I was kind of talking to him about the pros and cons. Because really, there are pros and cons to both traditional publishing and self-publishing. Both have the benefits, and both have some really not great benefits. But the one thing that kind of stuck out to me was just shelf life. You have a book, it gets published by a publisher, it comes out, and you know the shelf life of a typical book is a couple months. Because the book, shelf life in bookstores are finite. They're constantly having, you know, every week new books are coming out from a publisher. And so what would happen is that, you know, who kind of keeps a lot of that shelf life? You know, Stephen King, James Patterson, Harlan Coben, you know, all like the big ones because the bookstore knows that they can sell those copies. But for a newer writer starting out, you know, really trying to get that shelf life, like stay there for longer than 6 months is kind of difficult sometimes. So I started thinking about that, and I was like, okay, you know, so I wait, you know, I sell this book, and I wait like a year or two for it to get published, and then it comes out, and then it's gone. And then basically, where does the reader find that book? 9 times out of 10, they're going to go on Amazon. And I'm like, okay, well then, if that's the case, you know, why even bother going through the whole publishing dance? Because my agent was able to secure a nice advance for the anthology, but a lot of that went to the writers to help pay, you know, to the writers. But I mean, even had it been a novel, publishing advances have really come down. Typical advance right now is, what, $5,000? $10,000 if you're lucky? You know, a lot of the six-figure deals, they do happen, but they're very, very rare. And then what happens is that a lot of writers, they need to survive off their backlist. Again, where, you know, the backlist is going to be on Amazon. And publishers have been pricing their ebooks really hot because they want, because they don't want to cannibalize print sales. One thing that really stuck out to me, and I talked about in my post for Joe Conrath, was Scott Snyder. Does anyone know who Scott Snyder is? He did the American Vampire graphic novel series. Before that, he had had a collection come out, a short story collection called Voodoo Heart. And everybody had raved about this book. And I'd always been meaning to check it out, but of course, you can't really find it in any bookstores. You know, where can you find it? You find it at Amazon. So I was like, all right. So by that point, I'd gotten an iPad, and I was reading a lot more e-books. By the way, does anyone actually read e-books? Now, let me ask you this. Do you find you prefer one over the other?
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
I like the hard book. I have a Nook Color.
Right.
And I find that I've read a lot of books halfway through, three quarters through. But for some reason, having the actual book seems easier. Like, the Nook will, you know, the battery will die out, or I won't shut it all the way down. And
right.
I tend to read more actual books through.
Okay. Right.
I
more...
like my Angry Birds more on my Nook than actually read.
Okay.
Which is horrific. I know.
Anybody else have a different experience?
I'm the opposite.
You're the opposite?
I will read a physical book today, but it's work. Whereas I can read off my computer on my lunch hour. I can get an hour's worth of reading done if it's digital.
Right.
Or I can pull out my Kindle and read it there or whatever. Anywhere I am where there's a computer, I can get on and read whatever I'm working on.
Yeah,
I also strongly prefer the e-books now. Just even just from the point of view of space, physical space.
Physical space.
That amasses books.
Yeah.
And so having the Kindle really helps me out that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have so many books at home, my wife can... I have so many books that I just don't even know what to do with it. And yeah, I mean, I found myself too. I mean, you know, physical books are nice, but there's something about the e-books, and especially I just have gotten a Kindle, the one of the newer ones, and it wasn't one of the color ones that had like the games. I mean, it's just a dedicated e-reader, and I find myself much preferring. Like, I wish all my books were just on the Kindle. It just seems that it's just easier reading. It's very light. I can take it anywhere with me. It's great, like on my phone. If I'm out and about, I can open up my Kindle app, and then it syncs it back to, and it just wherever I go, I have something to read. So. It's really great. But, of course, some people kind of prefer the print. And there is always the old argument that e-books are not real books. To each his own. It's kind of like saying, you know, MP3s are not real music. It has to be on a record. I mean, records are kind of coming back. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's on CD, it's cassette, it's music, okay? You know, a book is a book. At least in my opinion, that's how it is. So, anyway, going back to Scott Snyder's Voodoo Heart, before it had been $9.99 on Amazon Kindle. Which, okay, you know, that's reasonable. But then the publishers were doing a whole agency pricing model with Apple, which I'm assuming everyone kind of knows about, the whole Department of Justice now filing their thing about. Which really, that lawsuit is not about the prices, the agency pricing model. It's more about the idea that all the publishers and Apple had colluded together. And that's what they're basically coming after them for. But with the agency pricing model is where basically the publisher was able to set the price. Because for the longest time, Amazon would make it $9.99. They would pay more for the book and sell it at a loss so that they could sell Kindles. And of course, publishers did not like this because, you know, it was hurting their print sales, so they wanted to raise the ebook prices. So anyway, after right after the agency pricing model, Scott Snyder's Voodoo Heart, which was $9.99, became $14.99, which is quite a jump for an ebook, especially when the paperback is less than that. And I don't know. I have a hard time trying to justify a cost for an ebook that you don't technically even really own. You're kind of just licensing it. I mean, it's in your cloud or whatever else. You can get to it whenever you want, but, you know, it's not really physical. But paying more for that than an actual book, I just have trouble trying to justify that. The same thing happened recently with Doug Winter's novel Run. Did everyone ever read Doug Winter's Run? Douglas E. Winter. Came out in Knopf 2000. Doug's been known. He had edited Primeval. So he's been known in the horror field, but he came out with the first novel. It was this thriller. It was a really, really great thriller. Knopf published it in hardcover in 2000. 2001, it was in mass market paperback. So since then, it's been out of print. And recently, I was like, you know, I wonder if it's in digital yet. So I looked online. It's no longer in print, but it is in Kindle edition. And the Kindle edition was like $13.99. And I kind of asked myself, who does that benefit? Is it benefiting publishers? Is it benefiting the author? Is it benefiting the reader to have these really high digital... I'm not saying, you know, all the books should be $9.99 or 99 cents, which I'll get to later. I mean, I actually think the 99 cent price point is not really good for writers. Again, the whole idea of the backlist. People who are going to try that, newer readers, who is going to try an ebook for 14 bucks? So I kind of was talking to Blake Crouch about this one day, and Blake had been doing really, really well with ebooks, him and Joe Conrath. Kind of Blake was telling me about what he was doing, and I had talked to Joe about what he had been doing before, and I had seen what they were doing. At the same time, I was really holding out with my agent. I was like, you know, I kind of, there's a whole romanticism of publishing I've always had in the back of my head, where it's like, all right, you know, I want to have a hardcover book deal when it comes out and all this stuff. But then I really started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what, that sounds nice and everything, but honestly, I just want to, like, sell books. You know, I want to get a readership. I want to sell books. And more importantly, I like to make money. And Amazon started off with that whole thing where they're going to offer writers 70% royalties on ebooks at a price between $2.99 and $9.99. Amazon's reason for doing it is basically they want to steal writers from publishers. And why not? Because right now the digital or the standard royalty for digital in main publishing is 25% royalties. And then with an agent, it comes out to like 17-something percent. So on a $9.99 ebook, you're making, anyone do the math real quick? Like 2-something? Does that sound about right? Okay. On a $2.99 ebook, you can make $2. So for me, if I sell a $2.99 ebook, I make basically $2, which is pretty ridiculously fantastic if you think about it from a writer point of view, and even from a reader point of view. You know, it's a $3 ebook, and then the writer really makes a lot of money. And Barnes & Noble kind of came off, you know, they started their own publishing program, Pubit, where it's not the same royalty, it's the same type of idea. I think it's 60-40 split. There's Smashwords that then can, you know, go into the Apple Store. I think you can publish through iBooks now, but it's, personally, I think it's a pain in the butt. I don't know if anybody tried. Has anyone actually tried publishing, self-publishing yet with ebooks? So I went and I tried it. Before then, I had some novellas, stuff that I had written probably back in high school, in college that, you know, I'd always just kind of been sitting on it. I went back and I'm like, you know, this isn't really that bad. So I went back and I rewrote it and, you know, made it like 99 cent ebooks. But then sold a few here and there. But then I finally decided, okay, I'm going to try to start off with a novel. Because, again, I'd been sitting on these novels throughout years, so I kind of was able to start off with a nice backlist. So I started off with, and I did make these in print, too, for readers who do like print. So I brought them so you can kind of see in terms of the this one right here, The Calling, which before then, when I had originally tried to contact agents, I had contacted some writers before then and said, you know, would you be willing to read this? And if so, if you really like it, you know, maybe give me a blurb. Because I thought, like, okay, maybe this will help me kind of stand out in the slush pile for agents. So I had gotten some blurbs, like Tim Levin gave me a really great blurb, Jay Bazania. Then I felt bad when nothing ever came of it because they had spent all their time reading this book and they gave me this blurb and I've always been sitting on it. So I realized, okay, if I'm going to publish this, I already have these great blurbs. You know, I know the book is good to go. So I was able, I had a friend of mine who does graphic design, and I said, would you be willing to do a cover for me? And he's like, yeah, okay, sure. And it was this, and the other day I had done a blog post, because it came out about a year ago in March. I published it last March.